Well, we're going to go ahead and get started. We are mic'd, and if you didn't notice, there are headsets if you want those as well, for those of you that... This room sometimes is harder to hear in because of the flooring, so as we get older, or some of us when we were younger. I wanted to give you a brief overview of what we're going to do today, because you're like, what are we going to do? We're going to be together, and first we're going to sing some songs and pray, hear from God like we usually do at a fellowship. Then I've asked two different women to share some things in their life as they've trusted God, seeing him come through for them. Then I want to share some things from the Word. And really, one of the reasons it was on my heart to do something for our older women, it's a season of life that we go through. As women, we go through lots of phases of our life. When we're young, some of us get married and have kids. Some maybe choose not to get married, but they have roommates, they're in college, they're doing different things. We're changing all the time with what our responsibilities are. And as we get older, things change again. Some of you have no one at home with you anymore, where you used to have a crowd there. Some of you are widowers, would that be right? Widows. The guys would be the widowers, okay. Things have changed in your life, and how do we as women that love God continue to serve him till the Lord returns or till our last breath? And I've just noticed, especially I think COVID didn't really help, people isolating a little bit more than normal and getting comfortable in that. I found myself getting comfortable in, I don't want to go out. I just want to stay here and read a book or, you know, watch a movie or read the Word even. It might be something godly, but I found myself wanting to just not put forth the effort to be with others. And that's not something that God encourages in his Word. He tells us not to forsake that we need each other. He's placed us in a body for a reason. And I thought it would just be great to get together, spend some time with you older women. There are certainly challenges in life as we get older, and how do we deal with them? How do we figure out living for God when we have pressures, when we have physical things that hinder us, when we sorrowing, when just things that come up as we get older? And because as you will see a little bit when we look at the Word today, God wants us to serve him our whole life, and he's equipped us to, and he's set things up so that we can. What we do may change, how we do things may change, but we can still have our lives focused on what he wants for us in our lives. And sometimes the things that we're dealing with want to be right here and push that aside. And how do we help each other? Is there more we could do as a church to help each other? Is there more we could do in our prayer groups? Or some of the things I'm going to ask for your input, but we'll get into the Word, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and grab some food, more coffee and beverages, and we'll talk at the tables. I've got one person at each table to kind of keep it on point, because we can get off point and talk about gophers in North Dakota or something. You never know where that conversation's going to go. And we'd like to kind of keep it focused on what we want to accomplish today and see what we can do better for each other. And then, I scheduled another one in March. That's just a luncheon to be together. What we do there will be determined by what we do here and what we think the need is there. So it's not all me. It's not all my show here. Part of it is the body together. What can we do for one another and seeing what God has in mind for all of us. As I've been praying about this day, I've been very excited. Some of you have expressed that same. We're really looking forward to it. And I just, as we're going through the morning, just be praying and asking God what he wants to teach you and show you. Because I believe there's things on some of the hearts here that you've never told anyone. But God loves you and wants to help you. And perhaps as a body, we can help care for one another. I've had the distinct honor over the years to be with two people as they fell asleep. If our Lord tarries, we got to get better at that. We'll see in the Word where men of God died full of days, still vibrant till their last breath. Maybe we're not always so vibrant, but we're trying. But there can be a grace and a beauty and a peace and a love, even to our last breath, if our Lord tarries another 100. I thought he was going to come back when I was a teenager. I don't know what the holdup is. I never thought I'd be, I'm almost 68. I'll be 68 in March. I never thought I'd be this old, but, my mom's 95, so it looks like I got a few more years if he tarries, so. And she's just like an Energizer bunny. She keeps going. So she had a small stroke a few weeks ago, and the doctors are like, you're not supposed to be able to do all this now again. And she's still blowing their minds and just like keeps going. So we may have a few more years here. And how can we do this better? How can we rejoice to the very end? How can we live for him to the very end? And one of the things I've noticed that, you know, when I was 18 and I first was learning about God, and I learned about the renewed mind, where we're supposed to, if we have something in our life that's challenging, we stop and we go to God's word and we hold his thoughts in our mind and we change our mind to believe what he says rather than letting the circumstance overwhelm us. I'm sorry, when I was 18 and, you know, some boy looked at me weird, my challenges were very small, I have to say. You know? Oh, she looked at me. She was mean. I mean, I really didn't have a lot that I was dealing with in my life. So to grab for God's word, it worked. As I've gotten older, sometimes there's things in my life that I can't change. There's people I love that are doing horrible, and I want them to do better. Sometimes there's things that just are going to go on and on and on. What do I do then? It's still true. The renewed mind does work, putting on his word, but it's a little more challenging sometimes. When you wake up and you get up and, that hip is just kind of, you know, there's things that you deal with you didn't have to when you were a teenager, when you were a younger woman. But that doesn't mean that has to be the focus of our lives. And that's what I'm praying, that this day will help us to remember what we're called to, how precious we are to God. We heard it in manifestations, and how we can live for him to the very end. There's three specific things I want to share with you from God's word, categories. One is, I would call it, part one is our calling. Part two is your worth, your value. And part three is that God is still working. Even when we're old, he's still working in our lives. When I first made the announcement for doing the Older Women's Fellowship, I read this verse that's up here, which you can't really see if you're back very far, so I'm going to read it to you. This is from the Amplified, by the way. It says, the righteous will flourish like the date palm, long-lived, upright, and useful. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic and stable. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they will still thrive and bear fruit and prosper in old age. They will flourish and be vital and fresh, rich in trust and love and contentment. They are living memorials to declare that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. It is God's will that, like I mentioned before, that even as we grow older, we've got a purpose in our life. He has things for us to do. When he called us, he equipped us, he gave us his spirit. And we know from the word of God that he's given us a gift that's unique, that's to minister to the body of Christ, that's vital to the body of Christ. It's easy to get caught up in the things that you're going through and forget about those things. But we need to remember we are chosen by God. When we said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ and to what God did, we became the chosen. we were called of God at that point in time. He called us by his grace to be his dear children. Whether you're 10, you know, we've grown in this church. I have to say, years ago when I first got believed on Jesus Christ and I was overseeing some small home fellowships up in Minnesota. And I was single, and I was in my 20s, and I went to a small home fellowship where another single woman was running that fellowship. And I came in the living room, and there's the fellowship. And in the dining room, which was attached like an L-shaped, I look over there, and there's all these children underneath the dining room table. And so afterwards, I said, what are the kids over there for? And she said, we don't really know what to do with them. We got to learn the word of God. So we just kind of put them over there. Thankfully, we've grown an understanding that even if it's a three-year-old, they're a part of the body too, and there's something that we can teach and instruct them in. And you know, if you've been to our children's fellowship here, you know that does happen. That there's, I mean, they amaze you how they can grab for God's word, how they'll minister to your life with words that they speak in their childlike faith, because they're children. It's childlike because they're kids. But their simple trust in God can be very reproving to me. The same is true as we grow old. We're no less a part of the body of Christ, and we need to remember that we're called of God, and he called us to eternal life. I spent quite many hours looking at the words in God's word for call, called, calling, chosen. I'm not going to read them all to you, but I'm just going to tell you a few things that I found in the epistles that God says about being called. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to Romans 1, we're going to look there first. We're not going to look at all the verses. I'm going to sum it up for you a little bit, but we'll look in Romans 1, chapter 1. This calling of God does not diminish with age. It doesn't change. In Romans 1:1, we see Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So we see here Paul's called. I'll acknowledge that. Sometimes I can forget that I'm called, but if we keep reading, we read more about Paul's calling, which he has promised by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we, that's you and me, okay, have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Wait, no, here's the we. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. So we see here right in the beginning of Romans, which is a book that teaches us what God's done for us in Christ, who we now are because of what he's done for us. And it says right there, we're what? Called of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 states that we are beloved of God and called to be saints. There are so many other references in the New Testament regarding our calling. It's very important that God wants us to understand that. It's used over 25 times in the books from Romans to 2 Timothy. Specifically, God's calling to us in Christ. We're called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're called into the grace of Christ. We're called by his grace. We're called unto liberty or freedom. We're called in one body. This isn't just you've been called and you're on an island. We've been called together in Christ as a body. We've been called unto eternal life. It doesn't diminish with age. We're called forever to be his, and he's got a purpose for our lives forever. We're called according to his purposes by his grace. That's something we need to remember. It doesn't change because you're 70, because you're 80, because you're 95, because you're whatever you are, 50, 48. I don't know how old you are. We're not going to go around and, how old are you today? You're not 20. I can look around and know no one's in their 20s, okay? It doesn't change as we get older. We can think it does. We can forget that we're called of him. But no matter what you're going through in life, what challenges you face, what disabilities you have because your body is getting older, what persecutions, what tribulations, we are called by the God who created the heavens and the earth, and he paid a tremendous price to make us his own. And he has things for us to do in this life. It doesn't change. What we do might change. You know, when I was in my 20s and having kids and 30s, almost 40 when I had, well, I don't know how old I was. 30, I don't know. 35, I don't know. Anyway, I think I was in my later 30s when I had my last child. You know, for a lot of years, a lot of my time was consumed with taking care of four children. I still was a part of the church and doing things. But what I did was different. I couldn't, okay, kids, you're on your own. I'll see you. I got to go serve God over here. No, my service to God was with them a lot of the time. They're gone. They're not gone. They're not in my home anymore. I don't have to. Did you wipe your bottom? I don't have to ask my 40-year-old daughter if she did that. maybe my grandsons or my grandkids, but No, I don't even have to. They're old enough now. I don't even have to do that anymore. Wash your hands afterwards. Yeah, that one I got to remind them once in a while. But what I do changes. And certainly, maybe you're not going to be in charge of, like some of the people were over here early this morning changing light bulbs, climbing tall ladders to change light bulbs. I'm not volunteering for that job, okay? Not something I want to do. Now, I will say my mom at this age was going up and down ladders. Talked to her one time, and she said, I'm really sore. And I found out she'd been going up, this is in her 80s, going up and down ladders, helping my brother-in-law build this gazebo thing. Maybe, and she's had two hip replacements, you know, 25 years ago. So there's things I'm not going to volunteer to do, and I shouldn't. But don't rule out that the Lord can work in you to direct you. That, you know, your life and ministry is still needed in this body of Christ. This church needs what you have. And I'm not just making that up. God says that in his word, okay? And it's easy to get complacent with life as you get older. I don't always want to stay up till midnight. And I used to stay up till like 2 in the morning. Once the kids went to the bed is when I got things done. But that doesn't mean God can't work in me and direct me to his purposes. So we need to remember we're called. Okay, part 2. Turn to Romans chapter 11, please. I've already kind of went into part 2, that you're worth a lot. You're valuable to God, to the body of Christ, and I might say to the world. Because part of God's purpose is to reach others with the gospel. There are people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that have no idea that when they die, that's it. They don't know that his blood was shed for them, that there's a newness of life that they can have. So you're valuable to God, yeah, to the body of Christ, yeah, and to the world. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The Amplified Bible states this beautifully. It says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For he does not withdraw what he has given, nor does he change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. This calling of God doesn't change. It's irrevocable. God didn't say, yeah, I've seen your life. I'm done with you. He doesn't do that. We might look at ourselves and think, yeah, what good am I? Well, that's when we stop and we put on the word of God and say, what good am I? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm the holiness that he's made me to be in Christ. I am equipped with something far beyond what I could do with this weaker body. And he's got something for me to do. He doesn't change as we get older. Philippians chapter 1, please. And like I mentioned before, what he's wrought in Christ in our lives doesn't weaken or diminish as we grow older. How we serve might change, what the Lord directs us to do. I was talking with one of our younger women, one of our younger moms, and she was sharing with me how she was really being challenged with something and had gone to God in prayer, had gone to his word, and still was being challenged. And she happened to speak to an older woman in the church who in just a few moments spoke the words exactly that she needed, and she was just astounded at God working in this person's life. And she goes, wow, that was just what I needed to hear. Thank you for walking by his spirit. And she said, the sad thing to her was the woman kind of went, oh, I did? Sometimes we can convince ourselves that we don't have anything worth giving. That is a lie from hell. That is not from the true God. And just because our flesh weakens, changes, you know, maybe you don't have the abs that are the six-pack. Maybe you never had one. Maybe that was never your goal. Maybe you can't run a marathon. Maybe you can't do some of the things you used to do. But that spirit that God has placed within you, the gift that he's given you for the church, doesn't get weak, doesn't get old. It's fresh until our last breath. Philippians chapter 1, In verse 6, we read, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you is done when you turn 50. Oh, is that not what it says? Oh, it's 60. I got it wrong. I mean, we laugh, but in practice, sometimes that's what people do. You know, oh, I'm retiring. I might retire from the job I did. I used to do bookkeeping. But we don't retire from the body of Christ. We don't retire from the calling of God. We don't retire from having a Lord who directs our steps if we let him. We don't retire from having a purpose that's far beyond the physical body that we have. God says he's at work until you're 80. No, we'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a great comfort that is to my soul, you know? Even at 80, this is true. Even at 90, even at 95, I've seen my mom speak words of life to someone that didn't know Jesus Christ. Whoa. I was reading a book recently that Jackie gave me. Great book. I mean, I don't know that everything's right in it, but it's tremendous heart about a woman, and she is quite a bit older, and her comprehension for this precious gospel of Christ and what it means to be able to give life to someone that doesn't know it. And it's not a religious duty. It's because she loves this God and believes that the blood of Christ was really precious and that people have to know about it. And it's been very reproving to me because she lived her life in such a way where she got a phone call and it's a salesman and they went, oh, I called the wrong number. Oh, you didn't call the wrong number. You're calling, you know, it's no accident that you called me. And do you know that Jesus loves you? And she just preached the gospel. Somebody knocks on our door. Oh, I thought this was the Brown's house. Oh, no. You came to the right door. Did you know? I mean, just every opportunity she just, and she, the thing is she wasn't faking it. She honestly would pray every day, bring me someone I can speak your gospel to, you know? And so every opportunity that she had in the grocery, it was just like she's going to, you know, she believed that she had something worth giving. And it was very reproving to me. Not that I don't believe that, but I can, when I go to the grocery store, sometimes I'm just thinking about what I need to get and get out of there and get home. I'm not thinking about the person next to me. And I mean, I'm being honest. I don't always, you know, but even when we're older, it says that God's working in us. He's a part. He's at work in our lives. He's working in Christ. We get to be part of the purpose of the ages that Ephesians 3 talks about. A part of what God is working in Christ now, and we'll get to be a part of what he's working in Christ at the end as well, too, which is a great comfort and hope, you know. Therefore, we're valuable to God, like I said, and to the body and to the world. We've been called to something wonderful. And I forget where this is at. 1 Corinthians 12. I didn't write down the reference, but I know where it is. 1 Corinthians 12. And I'll drink a drink of coffee while you're turning there. We're going to go down to verse 12. 12:12. Speaking of the body of Christ, for the body is not one member, speaking about a physical body as an analogy to the body of Christ. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Or because I am 54, or 68, or 95, I am not of the body, or less valuable, or not called to be a functioning member because I'm too weak or too old. Is that in there? Could be. But it's not true. And yet in practice, many kind of retire from life and retire from being an active part in the body. That isn't the will of God. We want you. We need you. each of us. And I'm not going to come around and tell you what you should be doing, because I don't know. I'm not the Lord. You have a Lord. And if you will honestly go on bended knee and realize I'm still called and I have a purpose, Lord, what is that? Show me. Maybe you're supposed to be overseeing the 3 to 5 year olds in children's fellowship. I don't know. Maybe you're supposed to be an AV. Maybe you're supposed to be the one who organizes some prayer groups because we need to pray more in our church. Maybe you're supposed to be what the Lord directs. He will work in you and will direct you and show you. But we have to be humble and be willing to consider that my life is supposed to be more than what I'm going through, more than what I'm dealing with. You may have to, just like when you had, if you had young kids, you weren't available 24/7 to help in the body. You had a body right there you were dealing with. But you still could do what your Lord directed. God understands right where we're at, and maybe what he's called you to do is pray faithfully. And that's your calling in the body at this point in time, is to pray, to honestly push your heart and mind to pray for those saints in this church that need your prayers. Remembering those are not idle words going to a deaf God. They're words that, like the word of God declares, the prayers of a righteous man availeth just a little bit. No, a much. And that, you know, doing it with faith, with believing. And if that's what you're called to do and that's all you can do, I mean, don't diminish it like that. God has a purpose for our lives, and our Lord will direct us in what that is. And it can change from, I mean, honestly, as I've gotten older, I took a day, 2 days, and just went off by myself. Okay, God, I don't know really what, I'm kind of fumbling around here. Is this what you want me doing? I don't know. But I keep going to him, and he's shown me things, and there's more I believe he'll continue to show me as things change in my life. Okay. In this season of my life, what am I supposed to be doing? Am I still in the center of your will, or is there more I could, you know? That ought to be our prayer the rest of our lives, you know? I'm going to finish this section here. Now we're in the verse about 54. No, that's not in here. 12. What did I leave off before that? So I'm not of the body, we said. And I said, no, we are. What verse? 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath who? God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. We could keep reading. But it's just a reminder that we are called together into this body. And God has set it up, and he's placed you right where you where it pleases him. And our Lord will direct and help you. But I'm sorry, if I'm never with the body, what's he going to direct me to do? I'm not saying, you know, some of you maybe are here all the time. I don't know, but it's too easy to stay by myself as I get older or to stay with the people that I live with and not get out as much as I used to. Well, that may be fine, but maybe there's more the Lord wants you to do. I didn't earn the right to just have my selfish little life because I've gotten older and I've put in my time. I don't see the example of my Lord, Jesus Christ, doing that. Now, he didn't get to live to be too old because he chose to give his life for me and you. It says we've been bought with a price and our lives are to do whatever we feel like. No, it doesn't say that. Although sometimes people, as they get older, can be very selfish. You know, very self-centered. People can do it when you're younger, too. Teenagers are a prime example of being thinking, you know. No, I mean, we can, any stage of life. I'm just saying, though, as we get older, and maybe we do have more things physically that we need. Maybe you don't have 10 roommates because you have to be able to sleep. But maybe some of you living alone ought to consider, is there someone in the body that needs my life and ministry and I ought to live with them and help them? I don't know. That's between you and your Lord. There again, if you're living alone, I want you to leave here feeling like crap. No, I'm just saying, though. I don't know what it's supposed to look like when we get older. God can show us. Our Lord can direct us. I just know we can grow and grow up into Christ until we die, if we're willing to. So that's part two. You're worth something. You're valuable to God and to us and to the world. Part three, which they all kind of overlap, but I kind of broke it down. God is still working in your life and will continue to help you until our Lord returns or we breathe our last breath. When you look in the Old Testament, you can see a beautiful pattern of how God continued to work with his people, with the prophets, with the men of God, throughout their lives. Now, obviously, there's some that were cut off short because they weren't looking to God, and the Old Testament is a little different, too. Turn to Genesis 15. Well, you don't have to turn there. In Genesis 15, God tells Abraham, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age." Like I mentioned before, if our Lord tarries, we're going to be facing that, some of us. It's not a scary thing. We know what's coming ahead. But it's not something to be ashamed of. I know death is my enemy, but if I'm dying, I'm not the enemy, and I want you there to pray and love me through to the very end. I mean, that's what we should do for one another. There can be joy and peace to the very end. And dang it, we don't hide from that with each other. We don't pretend everything's okay as we get older. We reach out in the body of Christ, and we love and we care for one another and minister to one another and help you live for God till your last breath. We can do that if we let each other do that. But for some of us, we hide when things are going wrong. There's some kind of a screwed up shame that I'm not a good enough believer in this situation or some stupid thing. And that is so wrong. You know what? God's word tells me, this flesh is going to fail, that the flesh is weak. Okay, I'm a prime example of that, okay? So are you. So why do I have to hide that from you, that my flesh is weak? Now, do I have to blast every dang problem to the whole world? And on Sunday morning, we're all, like I said, it'd be a miserable church. But I don't have to pull away and not let the body help and do so that maybe I can do a little bit more for God another day if I let Nancy hold my hand and pray with me, if I let Lori, if I let Terry, if I allow what God has placed me in to work the way it's supposed to. But you know God's a big fan of freedom of will. He is not going to overstep that. If I've determined that this is something I got to deal with in my life without anybody's help, that could be right. It could be sin. Don't rule out that you're a part of a body and maybe I'm supposed to open up and have at least someone praying with me. Maybe you're dying right now. I don't know your situation, and the whole church doesn't need to know your situation. But I'll tell you what, if I want to praise him to my last breath, I might be grabbing Amy to help me do it. And Amy would go, "I don't want to help you. You're so weak and decrepit. Why would I want?" No. It can be a joy and an honor to love each other like that, to help each other, you know? But we've got to be humble to that. And we're not all dying today. That has really hurt my heart when I see people pulling away when things aren't good. Like, that's not going to happen to all of us. Things aren't going to be good a lot of times, you know? I mentioned Abraham, where he said he'd be buried in good old age. And we know that Abraham lived and bore a child when he was a teenager, right? Maybe. I don't know how old he was when he had the wrong one. But I know he was very old when he and Sarah had a child, who was part of God's purpose, part of God's plan. That child was part of the Christ line. And it says Abraham was, what, 99, wasn't it? 99, past the age of being able to have kids anyways. And Sarah was too. And yet he submitted to the will of God and he ended up being that, you know. What about Moses? Genesis 7 says that Moses was 80 and Aaron was 83 when they went before Pharaoh. Whoa, I got some years ahead here. I'm only 67. So in 13 years, maybe God will call me to go to the Pharaoh and lead out the children of Israel, part the Red Sea. I mean, I think about that. And yeah, I know their bodies maybe didn't have as much infirmity. I don't know. There's all that stuff. I just know that God was working with some old men, and they did his will. I don't know how old he was when he died, but I'm just thinking that's right. Pharaoh and then all the plagues, and then he leads the children of Israel out. And there's some time that lapses there. Turn to Deuteronomy 34, please. Just a few more places we'll go in the Word. Deuteronomy 34. Oh, yeah, this is the verse I made reference to. 34. And in verse 7 it says, "And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated." NIV says, "Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone." Whoa, and I get discouraged at 67 sometimes when my strength isn't as good. Okay, maybe I gotta raise my expectations a bit here, you know. My mom, she may be listening to this. I told her I'd record it, but as I think about her through the years, I mean, she's loved God. She's been a Christian since I can remember, but I don't remember her complaining about the body, her physical body, like I hear myself sometimes, honestly. And some of you sometimes. I was with some people, I don't remember where it was at, and we were talking for a while. I'm like, whoa, listen to our call. Was it after fellowship? I think it was. After, because our fellowship is all older people except for one. We have one token, Nathan Pimentel, younger. Why he keeps coming, I don't know, but he likes us. But we were talking, and then we were like, what are we talking about, you know? So let's change it back. And that may be one reason I have someone at each table is if we start talking about all that and it's going off in a place, there's someone there to remind you, hey, we want to talk about other things. There's another one, David. I'm not sure how old he was. There's a dispute over his age when he died. But I do know that in 1 Chronicles 29:28, you can turn there if you want, but you don't have to. It says, "And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor." That's available to God's people. That's available to you and me to continue in godly things, living for God in our old age. Like I said, till the Lord returns, could be today, or our last breath. Doesn't matter, either one. Well, it does matter. I'm glad there's a final one coming. Turn to Psalm 71, please. We just have a couple more verses we're going to look at, and then we'll take a break. So if you can hold off for a minute, before going to the bathroom, I will give you a break here. Psalm 71. This whole psalm is beautiful. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's a great one to read in light of, I think even the title. What's the title? Does it have a subscript at the top? Some Bibles do. What's it say?
Mine says prayer of an old man for deliverance.
Yeah, some of them have that. That isn't a God-added one, but that's kind of the sums up what they think is in here, which a lot of it is. In verse 16, we're going to start. "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, or white-headed, or died. O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." What a beautiful prayer. You know, "now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto all the kids, all this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come." He wanted his life to be about what God wanted. Turn to Isaiah, please, chapter 46. This is probably one of my favorite ones. I don't know. I've looked at a lot of things, and these are some that really spoke to my heart, so hopefully they do yours as well. Isaiah 46, in verse 3, it says, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am he, and even to your whore hairs," H-O-A-R hairs, "will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. "Listen to me, says the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. You who have been carried by me from your birth and have been carried in my arms from the womb, Even to your old age, I am he. And even to your advanced old age, I will carry you. I have made you and I will carry you. Be assured, I will carry you and will save you. Our God has not changed from this time period in the Old Testament. He declares that he will never leave us or forsake us, right? And that's in the New Testament, quoting the Old Testament, but it's quoting it to remind us he will never leave us or forsake us. He will carry us all the way through our lives. Isn't that a comfort? We are never alone in this. He's also placed us in a body, and that's one of the ways he works to carry us now. We can help each other to live for him until our Lord returns or we breathe our last breath. We can be there for each other, either way. You know, like I mentioned, if I'm dying and you're there with me, helping me till I breathe my last breath, or we're standing together, singing to the Lord, praising God, speaking the gospel, and he comes back right in the middle of it. That'd be great. But we can help each other do that, you know. There can be great grace and peace all the days of our lives. If we let God in this body help us the way that he wants to. If we allow our Lord to work in us and to direct our steps. There can be great joy and rejoicing every step of the way. Till he returns or till we breathe our last breath. Amen. You know, it's clear from the Word of God that we've looked at this morning that we have been called by God to gather in this body of Christ for his purposes. Our lives matter because of who he has made us to be in Christ. Our lives matter. Black, white, red, yellow, because of Christ. And we're equipped to serve him all of our days. We're valuable and precious to God, to each other, and to a dying world. Our God has declared in his written word and in manifestations almost daily, it seems like, that he is at work in us, to willing to do of his good pleasure, that he will never leave us or forsake us. He will not abandon his dear children. He cannot abandon his people. Nothing can pluck us out of his hand. He will carry us all the way through. He will help us every step of our lives if we will let him. So I'm going to pray with you, okay? Heavenly Father, I just pray today for... Oh, we thank you, Father, for what an amazing God you are, for your great provision for our lives from beginning to eternal, never-ending. You're with us every step of the way. You've placed us in a wonderful body with our Lord at the head of it. Thank you for all that you've done for us in Christ and that we can be humble to you, to each other, to our Lord, to see you glorified, to see our Lord magnified, to see others come to know what a wonderful God you are and your great love, to know the Lord that saved us, to know that Jesus loves them and has died for them and has given them a new life. Help us to remember that we are part of those that have been given a new life and to live our lives to your praise and to your honor, to your glory. Thank you for our time here, the rest of the time that we'll be spending together, breaking bread, sharing hearts, speaking words of life to one another, that it can be profitable, that it can be a blessing to each heart that's here, Father. We praise you and thank you for all you've done for us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.